Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome to NBA Today with Malika Andrews, live from Los Angeles.
Coming up on NBA Today, the Battle of LA, it did not disappoint. How LeBron, he turned back the clock to deliver Kawhi and PG their first loss to the Lakers in over 3 years. Plus, sticking in the West, Klay Thompson, he stole the crown from the Kings yet again last night. Who's the key for the Warriors to get back to the promised land? We discuss. And we're also going to go coast to coast where the Celtics made history. I mean, 150 points in regulation per? Come on now. NBA Today starts right now. Welcome to NBA Today. He is Kendrick Perkins. She is Sinead Gumake. I'm Malika Andrews. I don't know, guys. Was last night, was it the best night of the regular season thus far?
Yes.
I mean, absolutely electric. The stars were out across the street at Crypto.com Arena in the battle for Los Angeles. I'm a little glad I pushed my grandma bedtime back in order to make it to the fourth quarter because it was a playoff atmosphere. Let's show you what happened here. The Lakers, the Clippers delivered an overtime thriller. I'm going to call it right now. It was the game of the year so far. So, of course, James Harden in the building. PJ Tucker actually suited up for this one, of course, also part of that trade. Kawhi Leonard, my friends, playing in the second night of a back-to-back where he'd played 33 minutes the night before, 18 points in the first, Jeanette.
Look, once in a while, we get the vintage Kawhi that wants to come out there and make a statement, especially against the competition's best. He started out of the gate hot.
He had 22 in the first half. The Clippers led by 13.
Oh, that was the play.
Got him doing the stanky leg.
Oh, do the stanky leg.
And LeBron James loves it. Austin Reeves knew that the Lakers needed a little bit more from him.
And he needed that one for his confidence.
Well, and then the Lakers outscored the Clippers by 15 in the third. So on to the fourth we go. Tie game. LeBron James elevates.
Yes, doing what he do best, getting his lick back. But look, that midi. Sinead always talk about getting to his sweet spot.
This
and
is
look,
a signature
move. I already knew it was coming. Big Zubac on the switch. Take that. And look LeBron. You don't want none of this smoke.
LeBron had 12 in the fourth, but uh-oh, here comes the Clippers. Russell Westbrook hits the three, cuts the lead to 5 here.
Look, there's no bigger motivation for Russ to have a good game than his new teammate on the bench.
All three of the Clippers stars really were showing out last night. A little and one there for Paul George. Didn't make the free throw, though, but made up for it on this play over D'Lo. Top three.
That's playoff basketball right there. I mean, just being able to make the shots when they matter most. Paul George with a great game as well, especially in the fourth quarter.
20 in the fourth for Paul George. Final seconds here. This is who you want to have the ball. He was hot all night. Couldn't quite get it to go. Is that a little shade? Is that a little ISIS made shade from Paul George? On to overtime. Paul George would foul out of the game, but Kawhi Leonard, turnover here. Anthony Davis is pushing it up.
Don't you do it.
Oh! Year 21. Sinead is standing up in her chair. Jason Tatum was probably standing up when he tweeted that LeBron
was doing ridiculous. He was an ice tub.
LeBron James last year led the league in fast break points per game. How is he doing this? His son is even mystified.
His sons are loving it. Kawhi elevates, gets it to go. This was a game. Final seconds. Three-point game to the corner. Three-point can't go. Christian Wood is there for the cleanup. Lakers get the win, 130-125. The celebration continued into the locker room. But here's the deal. LeBron, just 5 games into his 21st season, he already has 2 of the 3 highest scoring games for a player that's been in the league as long as he has. He smashed that record with 35 last night. LeBron, I don't feel like he has all that much to prove, right, in year 21. But well, what did you learn about LeBron watching him in this mode last night, Perk?
Something that I already know. Number one, he's still the face of the league, and he's been holding that throne, and no one has dethroned him. And number two, right, making people around him better and making them elevate their game.
Absolutely.
Iron sharpens iron. If you go back and you look at the history of LeBron James' teammates, you look at the situation when Cleveland traded for Iman Shumpert and J.R. Smith. The main piece was Iman Shumpert, but then J.R. Smith get alongside LeBron James, and we saw how that went in Cleveland. I watched Cam Reddish. yesterday looked phenomenal on both ends of the floor, playing with a level of confidence. And that's what LeBron James do. Like, not only is he great, but when you get in that locker room and you get on the floor with him, all of a sudden you elevate to a certain standard, and I watch him rub off on people.
My takeaway was love him, hate him. If you did not have goosebumps watching what he did, you don't have a pulse. Because the reality is there are very, very few people, individuals, not even talking about sports, that can capture hearts, minds, emotions, even if you're a Clippers fan, the way that he did. Again, Perk.
There are only a handful of Clippers fans.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Thank you. But, like, you're grateful to be in that environment no matter who you're rooting for.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
What LeBron James did was special. Oldest player to lead his team in points, assists, rebounds since Michael Jordan. Like, what? It was one of those things. His word is witness, and we're all witnesses to greatness once again. And I think it was bigger than sports yesterday.
There were so many jaw-dropping stats. But when I look at the box score, there's two numbers that stand out to me. The 42 minutes, right, that James played, as well as the 19-point hole the Lakers dug themselves out of. Those numbers made an impression on LeBron James as well.
Well, the first thing I said when we came to the bench when it went to overtime, I said, guys, killing me, man. I'm trying to keep my minutes down now. It's another 5 minutes. I'm adding on to it. I look right at D-Law. I said, knock that down for me. So I ain't got to play another 5 minutes. But, I mean, obviously, I'm definitely a competitor. And, there's going to be a line. It's definitely a line that we want to kind of stay at. And some games is going to be, dictated on its own. Some games we'll have the ability to be able to, not have my minutes up as much. But I know when I'm on the floor, I can make plays. I can make things happen for our team, both offensively and defensively. But we'll do a good job as the season goes on as far as just making sure that we're in the wheelhouse where we want to be.
No one knows LeBron James quite like Brian Windhorst, our senior writer who is here with us. Brian, I'm curious, how sustainable do you think this formula is for the Lakers, leaning on LeBron? Once again, the thing that we talked about their depth trying to save them from as they continue to try to salvage their situation in late games.
Yeah, it's a good news, worrying news for the Lakers. Like, LeBron's fourth quarter play in these first five games is as good of a fourth quarter stretch as we've seen in his career. He's averaging 10 points and shooting over 60% from the field in the fourth quarters. And that's been huge for the Lakers. That's been a difference-making performance over and over to get them to this 3-2 record. And the reason you're seeing him do this is because this is healthy and fresh LeBron. He's able to have that explosion. He's able to push off that foot again, which he wasn't able to do at the end of last season. This is what you want to see LeBron have in the tank when you get to the end of the year. And that's why the Lakers were really hoping to avoid this. He's actually averaging more minutes per game this year than he did last year. And you look at AD leading the league in minutes. Now, the reason they are, guys, is because the Lakers have played three overtime games. And the reason they've played three overtime games is because they haven't been able to get it done in regulation.
Yeah.
They really loved their depth at the start of this season. Their depth hasn't played out this first 7 to 10 days. They've had some injuries for sure. Last night they were missing five guys. But the guys that they've needed down the bench haven't been able to do it. So they've needed to rely on AD and LeBron. Those minutes go up. The performance goes up. But you could even tell last night. You hear, there was an amazing effort.
Yeah.
But LeBron is savvy. He's been around. Here he's talking about already watching those minutes, already worrying about what this means. So, look, it was one night in November. We're not going to freak out about
it. Sure.
But this can't be something that happens over and over.
But the very, very early trend is that the Lakers have been digging themselves into these big holes early on in the first quarter and then just not being able to come out of them. So, Perk, real quick here, I want a percentage chance that this is sustainable, the load that LeBron is carrying.
A hundo. You know what a hundo is? 100%. Let me explain why. We know that LeBron James, right, he's striving for greatness. Yes, he want to win another championship, and he's going to continue to pile on for his resume, okay? We understand that. But before the season, LeBron James dedicated this season to hoop. Bronny James. So he's out there playing with a different type of motivation and a different type of spirit. When your son and your child goes through something like Bronny did, all of a sudden that impacts you. And I see LeBron playing with a different passion and a different purpose. So if you're asking me, is he going to be able to sustain this? Yes, because he's playing with a passion, a purpose, and a reason, which is Bronny James, who he dedicated this season to.
Statistics was my worst class in school, but I do remember something about there being variables that affect the outcomes, and health seems to be the biggest variable in that 100%. Let's get to the flip side of this, because the Clippers' big three, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Russell Westbrook, look at this. this. They combined for 97 points, the most they have ever combined for as a trio of teammates. But they were also aware that no matter how much they're clicking right now, adjustments, they are coming, right, with the addition of James Harden.
I mean, great additions. Obviously, James is superstar, proven that year after year. Another playmaker, another scorer, leader. You know, really happy to have him here.
It's going
to
be sacrifice. You know, it's only one basketball, and we just got to figure it out from there. But I think we all are old enough to understand what we want to do here, and we'll see what happens.
What do you think it's going to take for the entire group, including yourself, to get through the process? Well,
give it a break, y'all. It'll be a process. Yeah. Like I don't have the answer. I don't predict the future. I don't know what's going to happen. Like I don't know, bro. But it's going to be a process. It's going to be ups and downs. It's going to be good games, bad games. It's not just going to come together and mesh, and we're going to be perfectly fine. That's unrealistic expectations for everybody.
Perk, you're having a pretty strong reaction to those words from Russell Westbrook. Who do you think is going to have to make the biggest sacrifice to make it work?
I mean, we were on the countdown yesterday when I said a prayer for T. Lou. The whole team is going to have to sacrifice, right? Especially Russell Westbrook and James Harden.
Janae?
Yeah, I agree. Okay, simple as that. I think that the biggest sacrifice is going to have to come from, obviously, the point guards, but it's got to be Russ. Just because, you know, he's been through some stops, too.
It feels like he knows it.
He knows it.
The tenor of those comments.
It may not be easy to realize in real time, but by the time the basketball is being played, I think Russ will understand that, hey, it was out of his control picking this, but he's still going to have to be a professional because James Harden is here to help them win and compete.
Brian?
Yeah, this is what I want to watch. So Lawrence Frank gave a press conference before the game talking about the trade. And he said that, you know, James Harden has set the standard that he'll sacrifice, that he should have been an all-star last year, but he had sacrifice with the Sixers. And I would say, no matter what James Harden wants to say and what he might say when he talks to the media for the first time, I don't think the sacrifice worked out well for James Harden in Philadelphia. He gave up a ton of money. And then last year took a huge back step to lead the league in assists so that Joel Embiid could shine as the MVP. And when he got to the end of the tunnel, he didn't get what he thought he was going to get at the other end of it. So I do think that he'll come in with a sacrifice mindset. Mm. But I wouldn't blame James Harden if he was a little once bitten, twice shy, especially if we get into this process. Because at the end of the day, yes, James Harden wants to win with the Clippers. He wants another contract. And at the end of last year, there was no market for him after the way he played last season. That is something to watch.
Sure.
Because I wouldn't just make the assumption that James Harden's, you know, sacrifice mindset is going to be the same as it was when he first got to Philadelphia.
I feel bad for Russ. He did everything and more. It's been great since he put on the Clippers uniform.
Last night was impressive.
And he's going to have to sacrifice. That's going to be hard.
I agree.
It's going to be hard.
Yeah, absolutely. We are expecting actually to hear from James Harden for the first time since he put on a Clippers uniform, since he became a member of the Clippers later today. We're going to have full coverage of that on our show tomorrow. But coming up this afternoon, I mean, Dr. Dre said it, right? Y'all know me, still the same OG. You can't forget about Clay. He added to his list of unforgettable moments. Where does last night's game winner rank? And the new look Celtics, I mean, they're doing something that's only ever been done 3 times in NBA history. Find out what that is coming up next. Plus, we have a new segment. We're headed to the Bounce House. It's the best dunks from the first week of play across the association. But make sure to scan right now. Get your phone out. Let us know which one did you like the most. That was a monster from Chet Holmgren there.
That was clean.
But was it the best dunk of the week? We're going to reveal what America thinks at the end of the show. See if they agree with Perk.
Now let's talk about the play of the week, the pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
NBA Today is brought to you by Marvel Spider-Man 2 for PlayStation 5 console. Rated T for teen.
All right, it wasn't the Bay Area last night. It was the Clay Area.
Hey!
Steph Curry, Clay Thompson in Sacramento taking on the Kings. This one came down to it, so we're going to pick it up in the fourth quarter. Oh, this is just unfair, Steph, playing with them.
Come on, in and out behind the back.
But then again, Malik Monk out to DeMontis Sabonis.
Banks
off
open.
The glass.
It is the Chase Center.
Well, yeah.
Gotcha.
And then Klay Thompson, watch him here. Final
a lot
seconds.
Of middies off
yes,
the
sir.
Dribble.
Klay Thompson, 14 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. Steph Curry, 21, 5, and 3. The Warriors get the win, 102-101. This is what it looked like courtside in Shea Center.
Look,
even Draymond, Steve Kerr, everybody is thrilled. This is how it sounded after the game.
I mean, you know, Bob, I get going left. I step back and rise up. It's tough to stop, but didn't have my best shooting half in that second, but I stuck with it. And that's the beauty of this game. You stick with it. You play hard defense. I mean, the basketball guys tend to favor you.
Those moments where, you know, Clay hits a huge shot, first person gets the bear hug of his Draymond, like there's some poetry in that. So it's kind of cool how I don't ever take those moments for granted, knowing how long we've been doing this.
Say it with me, Perk. Clay area. Come on.
Come on.
Last night was Klay's third game winner against the Kings alone. Let's take a trip down memory lane, shall we? Because here's what happened. His first, it was actually 10 years ago. He hit this corner three, time running out, give the Warriors a 2-point lead over the Kings. They eventually won that game 87-83. Fun fact, Richard Jefferson, he also had 3 points in that game. Good for Rich. Then, of course, we're not going to forget this. It was 2 years later, 2015, Klay made NBA history. 37 points in one quarter. He made all 13 shots, including a league record 9 three-pointers in a quarter. He finished with 57 in the game. Just insane. And then, 2018, down one, Klay followed up his own miss to take the lead. Just over 5 seconds remaining in this one. Look at the little flex he's got going on there. He finished with 31, 117, 116 win over the Kings. That all led, of course, to last night. I mean, the step back, the jump shot, take the lead. Only 2 seconds left remaining. The Warriors have now won 4 in a row. And here's Draymond with a little homage to one of Klay's post-game habits after the game.
Anybody think it's going to fly? Y'all doubt? All right. Y'all not? All right. So about 4 people not doubting me?
That is terrible.
Terrible?
That thing is not flying anywhere. Yeah. We could have a throwing contest.
Yeah,
that thing is
made it up to like over there.
Yeah.
So.
It went like this. Exactly. Terrible engineer.
I don't know if we're better engineers. I don't know if our ergonomics or chairs, aerodynamics are better. I think we should try. We should practice. We should make some paper airplanes. And while we're working on it, Brian, we know the goal for the Warriors, this team, is to win a 5th championship. So who is the most important Warrior, not most important airplane maker, to get the Warriors back to the finals?
Yeah, not featured in that highlight, unfortunately. Andrew Wiggins,
right?
I really think, is a guy to watch for the Warriors. You know, Wiggins was their second best player when they won the title 2 years ago. And last year, I know there's been a lot paid attention to their chemistry and the issues that they had with Jordan Poole and Draymond Green. But when Andrew Wiggins had to leave the team to deal with those personal reasons, he was never really the same, and they just weren't the same as a team. And he really had to use the back end of the season to try to get back in condition. And even this year, as good of a start as their offense have to. Wiggins hasn't quite been himself. You know, Steve Kerr has talked about how he wasn't quite at the top of his game at the start of the season,
right?
Which I think is a, you know, code for his conditioning wasn't really where they wanted. He elected not to play for the Canadiens over the summer. He has not finished some of the games down the stretch, a couple of the early games. And Wiggins, because of his ability defensively, because of his versatility and who he can guard, how important he is rebounding the basketball for them, Wiggins is the guy that can elevate where they are as a whole team. And so that's the guy you really need to be watch, and he really needs to be in sort of this 2022 condition as we get into the back half of this season.
You just dropped so much knowledge, and I'm like working so hard on making sure my angles are precise here. Continue, Park.
It's all about the toss in the airplane. But look, here's the thing, and the producers are going to be mad at me.
Uh-oh.
I originally had Andrew Wiggins, and I got to thinking, it's all about Draymond Green.
Mm.
It's all about Draymond Green, the guy that anchors their defense, a guy that is in the Western Conference that has somewhat given Jokic problems when he defends him.
Mm.
And in order for the Golden State Warriors to get to where they're trying to go, and we know it's not a secret of winning the championship, guess what? They're going to have to go through the defending champs at some point, and you're going to have to go through Jokic. What guy can you name in the league outside of besides Draymond Green that could actually contain him?
I feel like that's a fool's mission to try to contain Nikola Jokic. I think mine looks okay.
Just like our fool's mission to like make
I think it's an inside out.
I mean, you just got a little toss.
Okay, yours came return to sender. My turn. Here we go. Right,
let's see. Go. It took flight, and that's what the Golden State Warriors are hoping to do. Chiney, last word on the key for Golden State.
You know what? I think it's really their collective IQ. We're going to look at that final play by, you know, Klay Thompson offensively and say, wow, that was amazing. And I think his teammates loved that. But the reality is they won the game defensively. And watch what happens right here at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Sabonis is trying to send a flare screen for Monk to go to the rim. Guess who sees it? Steph. And also CP3, so they start coaching. And so they're like, hey, there's going to be a back flare screen. They're telling Wiggs, keep your eye on Monk. Stay under. He does exactly that. He's physical under Sabonis. This is coaching from the sidelines in real time. And he's able to be in a position to deflect the ball. So as much as we love Klay's shot, I love that even more. People ask, what does Chris Paul bring? Well, it looks like Chris and Steph are on the same page coaching, whether they're on the floor or off. And I love that the Warriors' chemistry brings you good things like plays, like, you know, makes, and then also good things like that as well.
You're so right. I was talking to Bruce Frazier, an assistant coach for the Golden State Warriors last week, and he said there's not many teams that have a higher collective IQ in the NBA than us, and that is what we are banking on. We get to see the Warriors in action against the Thunder tomorrow night. All right, still to come on NBA Today. Hey, Perk, let's check in on your Celtics because they have unleashed a starting five. It's rewriting the history books. What they've been doing on the court that's breaking records only four games into the season. And Perk, have you voted yet? Which is the best dunk of the week? We're debuting a new segment, Bounce House. You get to vote the best dunk that we have seen so far. We're going to reveal the results at the end of the show. See if Kendrick Perkins and Chiney Agumike agree with your pick. Scan the code now.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome back to NBA Today.
It was a packed night of hoops. Let's go coast to coast, the undefeated edition. Heading into the night, there were three remaining unbeaten teams, the Mavs, the Nuggets, and the Celtics. So first, the Timberwolves, they handed the Nuggets a 21-point loss. It was their first of the season. Denver only had 89 points. They were also held to under 9 lead only once last season, Perk. So are you buying the Timberwolves the number one ranked defense?
Hell no. Hell no. And look, glad that they got their win last night, but at the end of the day, they got to be consistent, especially Carl Anthony Towns on the defensive side of things.
They do have the three-time Defensive Player of the Year, Rudy Gobert, but there's been some fit issues thus far that they're still trying to sort of work out. Meanwhile, the Mavs, they're 4-0 now. They beat the Bulls, Luka snapped his streak of leading the team and scoring every night. Grant Williams, he led the team, 25 points. Dallas is at Denver tomorrow. It's an in-season tournament showdown. Janae, will they keep the win streak alive?
I foresee a bounce-back game for the Denver Nuggets coming off of a loss. Also at home, they're 34-7 last year, second best in the NBA. So I see Denver bouncing back. No shade to the Mavs. They've had a great start.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on that one. It's hard to see Denver losing two in a row, especially in the fashion they lost last night. Meanwhile, the Celtics, they're 4-0. They hung 155 points on the Pacers, the second most points in a game in franchise history. This was also the second straight game where the starters sat for the entire fourth quarter. Of course, no Tyrese Halliburton in this one, but Boston hits the road for the next three games. They will try to keep this streak alive. But here's the deal. The Celtics starters, they have been absolutely dominant this season. Look at this. They've outscored opponents by over 37 points per 100 possessions. That is the best in the Eastern Conference. So senior NBA insider Adrian Wojnarowski joins us now. And Woj, the Celtics, I mean, they took some big swings this summer, and it's already paying dividends. What has been the key to them getting off to this fast start?
They are just overwhelming teams with talent right now. And when they had the opportunity to go out and get Jrue Holiday, when he became available, you know, Boston saw a window here where they could have the deepest, most talented team in the league. And I think this is a team who's can absorb regular season injuries. That you can see how many different guys that could carry them for a stretch. And certainly this is a Boston team whose championship window, not just this year, but going a few years forward, they made the Holiday trade with an expectation they can re-sign him this summer. They still want to re-sign Derek White. And this is a team built right now to win certainly a lot of regular season games in this Eastern Conference.
Absolutely. You've seen Joe Mazzulla even say, we essentially have six starters and we're just figuring out how to deploy each one of these players. And even the gap right now, and I know they're growing pains between the Celtics and the Milwaukee Bucks, it looks sizable. Brian, what stood out to you the most watching Boston early here?
Well, to be in the conference finals like they were last year and then be able to improve on both offense and defense, this is almost an unheard of situation. By adding Kristaps Porzingis, they really are able to stretch the floor more effectively offensively, which is creating a lot of maneuvering room for both Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum had 30 points in 27 minutes. We saw Jaylen Brown have an explosive game a couple of days ago. And then defensively, with the ability to play Jrue Holiday on the perimeter, with all due respect to Malcolm Brogdon, who was a sixth man of the year last year, putting those minutes to Jrue Holiday immeasurably improves their perimeter defense. And then you look at the fact that they are still able to align and play the so-called double big. Even though Al Horford isn't starting, the way Joe Mazzulla is using his rotation, he still has two bigs out on the court a significant amount of time. But when the Celtics do that, they're very stout defensively. Their overall net rating, you saw that plus 37, but their overall net rating is plus 20 at this point. It's plus 20. I think the next closest is plus 11. They are not only winning, they're dominating. Incredibly impressive first five games.
I'm almost ready to come home. I'm almost ready to come home. Back to the Celtics, you know what I mean? But not yet. Not yet.
Almost.
Not yet. For the simple fact that they are playing beautiful basketball. I love what Derek White and Jrue Holiday bring on both ends of the floor. Porzingis has been balling, but I'm going to go back to it. When it comes down to the meat and potatoes, and when things get thick, what is Porzingis going to bring to the table? That's when it matters the most. It's cool right now, but I need to see it in the playoff series.
Yeah, they might be. Actually, let me just go ahead and say this. They are the best team in basketball, top to bottom. 13 players, 13 scored yesterday. Their ability to, like we heard, play big or play small. But then the key to that is having a five that can stretch the floor. They have that. Yes, Perk, I am concerned about Porzingis in the postseason potentially because we haven't seen much so far. But what we have seen so far is that the pressure will not only be on him. It's 13 players that scored yesterday. Again, Malika said everyone was able to sit in the fourth quarter. They improved offensively. They improved defensively. And also, there's more time to build experience. I think the big question mark that we had was coach. How is the coach going to react in certain circumstances in the postseason? I think they're gearing themselves to explore the same way we saw the Milwaukee Bucks score, yep. Explore a couple years ago to figure out how to win a championship. We're seeing the Boston Celtics go through that process with a number of players that can play both ways. I am starting to see the makings of a champion.
But I want to settle everybody down for a second, okay? Because I just had to look at their schedule. And, I mean, obviously, they played the Wizards. They beat the Pacers. They beat the Heat. They beat the Knicks. They beat the Hornets. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, they really haven't really scratched the surface of a contender yet.
And I will say, what I'm speaking of is the East, because I think the Denver Nuggets, they have all the, you know, questions answered. But in the East right now, they are emerging as the team to beat.
The strength of schedule point is fair, but sometimes teams have tendencies to play down to the team that they are playing. And the Celtics have just been rolling straight through doing what they do. All right. Trivia question for you before we head to break.
For who?
You. The Celtics, they improved to 4-0 for the first time since.
Probably 2000 and, you know what I'm saying, 9.
Hey, ding, 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 2009, 2010, and he was on the team at that point.
Big Perk was leading that team. Away.
There you go. Way to go, Kendrick Perkins. Coach, thank you so much. Coming up on NBA Today, the in-season tournament.
Woj, I know you want to smile.
It kicks off tomorrow. Don't miss Steph's predictions for the inaugural event. We have those coming up. Plus, there were some electrifying dunks this week, guys. I don't even know which one I would vote for. It's a tough choice. Good thing we're asking America to make the choice first. Get out your phones, scan, let us know who you think. What was your favorite dunk of the week? We're going to reveal the results, compare them to Kendrick Perkins' choice at the end of the show. You're watching NBA Today. Oh, wait, I'm told we have more video? Oh, no.
Wow.
Oh, I'm glad I brushed my teeth well today.
Jeez.
No hands.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
You're watching NBA Today.
Oh, baby, you see that clock? That means the countdown, it is on. The inaugural in-season tournament, it gets underway tomorrow. We're all 7 games on the schedule. They're going to look and feel much different. They're going to mean a lot more than regular season games would as well. And if you need a refresher on why, here is, I'm going to call him it, the director of ambiance, Richard Jefferson, with a reminder.
All right, everybody, the NBA first ever in-season tournament is now official. But how does it work? Like this. First up is group play. All 30 teams will be split into 6 groups, 3 from the East, 3 from the West, with a random draw based on last year's regular season records. Here's what the groups look like in the West. Here's what they look like in the East. Each team in a group plays each other one time, a total of 4 games, 2 at home, 2 on the road.
1, 2, 3, yeah.
Now those games happen Tuesdays and Fridays in November, so set your calendar. Basically, these regular season NBA games also count as tournament games. Now, in each group, the team with the best group play record after those 4 games, they're moving on. The team with the next best record in each conference, those 2 are the wild cards. Always watch out for the wild cards. Now, we get to the knockout round. 8 teams, single elimination, and you know what that means. Win and move on.
or lose, and you're out. And the last four teams standing, guess what? You're headed to Vegas, baby. That's right. In Las Vegas, the semifinal battles will get us to the championship game on December 9th. Two teams in a winner-take-all final to be named champion and be awarded the first ever NBA Cup. I promise you, you're going to love it.
Get it? Got it? Good. All right, fans, they are not the only ones making their picks on who's going to advance in each group. I was, you know, trying to figure out who my favorite, the toughest group is going to be. But some of the brightest stars, they're already making their predictions as well. Take a listen.
First of all, the Suns are going to win.
All right, let's get it. East Group A, who you got?
Give me the Sixers.
All right, East Group B, who you got?
I mean, come on, Milwaukee just picked up Damian Lillard.
I like the way Minnesota's trending. You know, obviously, we played Sacramento. They're going to be tough. OKC's got a lot of young talent. Wembanyama and San Antonio. But all that said, long-winded way of getting back to the Warriors.
What team do you see coming out of the West as the wild card?
Probably the Lakers.
West Group B?
I got to go with the Clippers because I can't pick the Nuggets because they beat us in the playoffs.
Now we're going to have you pick a wild card for each one of the conferences.
So Phoenix.
Team.
In the West. And I'm going to go with Orlando Magic.
Go with the Magic. East. A nice little young team.
Yes, sir.
Let's go to Group C now.
Boston. Next. I got the Lakers coming out of Group A. I'm going to go with the Clippers.
This is going to be the wild card in the West for you.
Can't leave the champs out. It's disrespect. Can't disrespect the champs like that.
I love it. The definitive nature of those picks. It all gets underway tomorrow with a group stage doubleheader. Giannis and the Bucks host Julius Randle and the Knicks at 7:30 Eastern. Then the defending champs, the Nuggets, they host the Mavs. Coverage begins with NBA Countdown at 7 Eastern on ESPN and the app. Some sad news from the world of college basketball. Bob Knight, the head coach who built his legacy with three national championships at Indiana and a gold medal with the U.S. Olympic team in 1984, has died on Wednesday in Bloomington, Indiana, at the age of 83. Knight, he was known for his fiery demeanor. He won his first NCAA title in 1976 when Indiana went undefeated, a feat that no team has accomplished since. And former Duke coach Mike Krzyzewski, who played for Knight at Army, had this to say about him. He said, quote, "We lost one of the greatest coaches in the history of basketball. Clearly, he was one of a kind."
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With Kizik hands-free shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Welcome back to NBA Today.
Welcome back to NBA Today. So Kendrick Perkins, remind me, when you first got into the league, you took a road trip from Houston, right, to Boston. How long was that? How many hours?
Yeah, it was 30 hours. I was country and dumb, and I didn't know that you could actually ship your car. So I drove from Beaumont, Texas to Boston, yeah.
Well, that was before there was GPS, right? So that means now you know your way around a road map. Yeah, exactly. MapQuest is just a little bit better. So we're going to debut our new segment. It is called Perks Road Map. And we are going to play a little game here. We're going to lay out some teams that have lost their way a little bit early this season. And Big Perk, he's going to help them. He's going to navigate their path to figuring it all out. So we're going to start with the Milwaukee Bucks, because the Bucks, they hosted the Raptors last night, who entered the game with the league's lowest scoring average and gave up 130 points. It was a blowout loss to Toronto. The Bucks never led in this one. Sometimes this happens, but they fell behind by as many as 27 in the first half alone. Ooh. The team's defensive struggles, they're becoming a little bit of a concern, because take a look at this. After ranking fourth in defensive efficiency last season. They are 29th in the NBA this season. Milwaukee ranks in the bottom five in field goal percentage allowed on layups and dunks this season. So, Perk, give me the roadmap here. How do they get back on track? Where are they headed?
Well, listen, I got this car over here. I'm doing my thing. I'm mixing it up.
Okay.
So the great thing about today, less Richard and more of yours truly, okay?
Oh, okay.
So I've been working on it. You're telling me to car fast, but guess what? Gotta spin it.
Oh!
That face in the camera. That face. Now, I don't want you to lock in on that 300-pound version of Mars Chestnut. Lock in to what I'm saying that's on the sign, okay? And what it says is road work, okay? The Bucks need work on both sides of the floor, and rightfully so. New head coach, Chris Middleton in and out of the lineup. Got to figure out the new guys like Malik Beasley. Got to see how your rotations are going to go. And got to find an identity on the defensive end and the offensive end of how you want to play.
I agree with you, Perk. I think their defense, I mean, you missed Drew Holiday, who was the captain of that defense, and we're seeing the effects and the learning curve. So, yeah, that's
you're
right.
Riding with Perk on this
I'm
one.
Right.
All right, let me give you another team that's lost their way a little bit. How about this? The Miami Heat, right? They blew a 15-point second-half lead to the Brooklyn Nets. I'm liking this music here. They dropped their fourth straight to fall to 1-5 on the season. Tyler Herro said, quote, "At some point, this has to matter to us." And Bam added, "The season starts like this, and you get to the deadline, and you don't know what's going to happen." So I don't know exactly what that means, but it is a little bit ominous here. I want to show you this, Perk. The Heat are off to their worst start since the 2007-2008 season. So what's their roadmap here?
Well, let me work my magic. But watch out.
Oh, back up. Beep. Beep.
Oh,
reverse.
How's looking in the camera? Huh? How's looking in the camera?
Let me see. It's looking great, Perk.
But they're having a rough road, right? And it started in the offseason. Missed out on Bradley Beal. Missed out on Damian Lillard. Missed out on Drew Holiday. Lost Gabe Vincent. Lost Max Strus. So where they at right now? Trying to find their way. And it's got tougher in the league overall. Milwaukee got better. The Celtics got better. The 76ers are better now that they got James Harden out the way. What are they going to do? I still believe in Eric Spoelstra. They'll find a way to get it right, but they won't have that same success that they had last season.
All right, last up here. The team that has sole possession of last place, the Memphis Grizzlies. They trailed the Jazz by 35 at halftime, lost to Utah 133-109. Memphis fell to 0-5, still has 20 more games until Ja Morant is eligible to return from suspension. And then take a look at this. Less than 1% of teams that have started 0-5 make the playoffs. So what's the roadmap for Memphis?
Well, I said this at the start of the season. Let me get the car together. Back it up. There we go.
Bam! You're nice with it.
I know.
See that? Do not enter. That's the thing. That's the roadmap. Do not enter. That's the sign. Meaning they're not going to enter the playoffs. And I said this. With Ja being suspended, losing Steven Adams, no Brandon Clark, Dylan Brooks is gone. And you can say whatever you want about Dylan Brooks, but he brought heart and soul to that team. I see this team being lost, and with the West being so stacked and being so deep,
I don't see
the Memphis Grizzlies making up ground to make it into the postseason.
Perk,
do not enter.
You're so good with your driving skills. Can you bring the car over here really quick?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Can I grab you? Here you go. Perk. Come on, Perk.
One more wheelie for the road.
Come on. Right here. Come on. There we go. Thank you, sir.
There we go.
Well done. That was smooth with it, Perk. Well done.
I mean, when you have kids, you know what I mean? You know how to whip the whips a little bit.
All right, my friends. It is the last chance not to ghost ride in Perk's whip, but to vote, because coming up here on NBA Today, we're going to show you the best dunks that have happened in this week one across the NBA. You voted which was your favorite. We will reveal those results in just 60 seconds. All right, it is time to enter the bounce house. I actually wasn't a big bounce house person as a kid.
Me neither.
But, you know, we'll see. As an adult, we're letting our viewers pick the best dunk of the week. But first, let's recap the nominees. The first one is Malik Monk. Kings opening night. Monk trailed on the fast break.
It's the setup by De'Aaron Fox, too.
My goodness, I'm sorry.
Get off me!
Look at his face. He knew it was nasty.
Oh, my goodness.
And right there, you take the push.
I don't know.
I'm good.
That one's pretty good. Let's see if Zion Williamson can top that. The defensive player of the year is in the paint. Don't tell Zion that.
Yeah.
That was clean.
It
was
Jaren Jackson on a post.
Yeah, but it was the split of the pick and roll to get to that.
It was.
Is it better than Monk,
though? This sums up the Grizzlies' start to the season.
Well, fair enough. Well, how about this one, Brian? Victor Wembanyama, he had about four dunks that could have made the list, but this one was our favorite. Wemby, right? He goes baseline, throws it down against the Rockets. What do you think, Brian?
I think you can be on one side of the block and dunk from the other side if you're Victor Wembanyama.
It was the face-up jab, go the other way, and then the reverse out of a post.
That was filthy.
Rewriting the rules of basketball.
Year 21, we got to show him LeBron James.
Last game,
overtime, Austin Reeves throws the alley-oop. Austin said that he'd watched LeBron do this so many times as a kid, he just was glad he got to be a part of it.
That is wild. That is a wild concept.
The fact that he is still able to do this. All right, who had the best dunk? We asked. You all voted. Malik Monk by 38%, followed by LeBron James at 31%. Pretty good.
I agree with that.
They got it right?
I think the context with LeBron's is the reason why it's number two.
What do you think, Brian? On the bottom, Victor Wembanyama.
Listen, the Kings fans are out in force. They think they're overlooked. They're trying to make their feelings heard.
Hey, I mean, they have been impressive so far. I know Golden State's handed them a couple of tough losses, but they have had an impressive start to the season. All right, Victor Wembanyama, though, I know he's at the bottom of this list, but he may be in the bounce house once again. He's back in action tonight, a rematch against Kevin Durant and the Suns. The Spurs, I mean, that was such a fun game. I know I said the Clippers and the Lakers were the game of the season thus far, but this one was pretty good. Brian, what are you looking for in this rematch?
The Suns were very disappointed with the way this game finished the other night. Yeah. I would look for some get back. The Spurs have not been good defensively. Here comes some get back from the Suns tonight.
Some get back from the Suns. So just a reminder, Wemby had 18, 8, and 4 blocks. Kevin Durant had 26 points, 7 assists, 12, and 9. Devin Booker is questionable in this one. We've only seen him in one game in the regular season thus far. What are you going to be watching tonight?
I'm going to be watching Wemby. Just because the narrative the last few days, or at least since the start of the season, is that he's gone off to slow starts. You know, the first three quarters he hasn't done well, and then the fourth quarter he goes crazy. I think he probably is processing that. I think he's that type of competitor that wants to make a statement and say, hey, I want to win Rookie of the Year. I hear what y'all are saying. I know I come through in the clutch, but I'm going to show you that I can do it in the first, second, third, and fourth quarter.
I feel like it would be an even bigger statement if somehow, some way, and I expect Kevin Durant to come out full throttle whether or not Devin Booker is on the floor. He took that loss. You could see it in his comments at the podium after the game, how unhappy he was. He felt he got fouled on that last play, et cetera, et cetera. But if somehow, some way, the Spurs were able to replicate what they did again, like, to me, that would be a major statement, Perk.
Well, they didn't give him life. So a young team coming in after a win like they had against the Suns a couple of nights ago, they're coming in confident, right? Victor, I believe he's going to be consistent through four quarters. Not just getting a spectacular fourth quarter, but, you know, the kid Vassell. Yeah, you know, we in the country we got a different terms, but at the end of the day, it's about these Spurs to me and how, you know, they're going to continue to grow. If they get this win tonight, Malika, you're right. They're going in the right direction.
So here are the prop bets, Brian, for Victor Wembanyama tonight. 16.5 points, 6.5 rebounds, 1.5 blocks. You taking the over?
On all of them.
Over on the blocks for sure.
I'll take the over on the points. I'll take the over on the points. Everything else.
Wendy.
Guys, the Spurs defense has been horrible so far this year. They've been horrible. Wembanyama is the only defensive bright spot they have. I think the Suns are running up that score tonight, friends.
But Wendy, 1.5 blocks?
That's what I'm saying.
That's light work for him.
Yeah.
You can get that in one play.
I'm telling you, get back is coming.
One and a half blocks in one play. All right,
get we back
have a
is coming.
Rematch, right, of the Suns and the Spurs going down tonight, coming off of an excellent. Are you making another paper airplane?
I am. I have to. I'm trying to make mine fly.
Tonight.
This was such a great show.
It was.
No,
you know why? You know why? Yeah, because he's Richard's liner. Yeah. Shade included, respectfully.
Perk, tonight for Victor, you're taking the over.
I'm taking the over on everything. I think he's going to go out there and have double-figure rebounds tonight. He's going to have more than a block and a half, and I think he goes for about a dub. over, on the points.
Over on the points and the blocks. And over on my ability to fly. Come on, baby. Oh, I flew a little bit.
You lost.
Was it wetter or worse than the last one? We're going to go with better.
The first one was better because you snatched that.
Enjoy tonight's games. We're going to see you tomorrow.